السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یا رب صلی وسلم دائما ابدا علی حبیبک خیر الخلق کلہم. الحمدللہ وتفضل کرم احسان وقد اللہ تعالی. وی فائنڈ اور سیلز ونس اگین آن اے مبارک ڈے آف جمعہ. So this is the first Jumu'ah in this year's month of Safar. So we want to try and touch on three things, if Allah Ta'ala permits us. One is that the month of Safar, many people regard it as, wa na'udhu billah, a bad luck month. So this is just superstitions. It's got nothing to do with our deen. Many people say that you mustn't get married in the month of Safar. You mustn't start a new business venture. You mustn't undertake any Safar. So, different things people say. But all this is baseless. There's no, you know, proof for any of this in our deen. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained to us in different ahadith that in deen, there is no badfal, there is no ill omen that you take of anything, whether it is of a place, whether it is of a month, whether it is of a time, whether it is of an action. There is no ill omens in our deen. Yes, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has allowed us to take naqfal, that you take a good omen from something. And this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself practiced upon. Once there was some issue being discussed or some, and a person came there whose name had some root to the word Sahal, whether his name was Suhail or Sahal or something like that. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that now ease will come in your matter, because this person came, his name is Suhail or Sahal, so now ease will come in your matter. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took naqfal, you take a good fal, a good omen. But these ill omens, and to regard a month to be a bad luck month and all of that, we are mu'mineen, we are believers, we believe in taqdeer, that وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ. Good and bad, everything comes from Allah Ta'ala. It's not a month that's going to bring bad luck or a time that's going to bring bad luck. There is nothing like that. So that is the first thing. The second thing is that across the, I don't know whether it's only in our province or whether it is in other places as well, every now and again, we get these pop-ups that pop up. This is a pop-up. So, people go there. It's mainly food stalls, from what we hear. And then some entertainment type of thing. Sometimes there's clowns there. Sometimes they're doing face painting. Then they are blowing balloons. And some of them are having some entertainment for the children, etc. So alhamdulillah, many ulama, they have highlighted the harms and the ills of these type of things. So even before Qurbani also, we had all these unfair fairs that take place, and then affairs start from those fairs. All these things happen. So they also, these ills were highlighted. So in one town, where now some pop-up, because this thing is growing now, going from this town to next town to next town. So one town where the alim, the imam of the masjid, he spoke out against this, and that's what he's supposed to be doing as an alim. He's supposed to be showing the community. Our community also, sometimes Allah Ta'ala forgive us, that in the things that they feel, there should be some guidance in this, there should be some leadership, then they point finger at the ulama. Yeah, we are the ulama. Why the ulama not guiding us? And then when the ulama guide, and the ulama say something, then no, they got their own opinion now on that matter. So this imam, he spoke out because obviously he was getting reports that these are the things that are happening at this place. And you don't even have to wait for the reports, you just have to look into deen and you will get your direction from there. So some people approached the imam sahab and they said that no, you need to rethink this, your opinion and your stance on these pop-ups and all that. We need to revisit it because you need to understand that there are many, many poor people. They don't have businesses, they don't have anything. This is their only way of earning their rozi. So they go around, they don't have the money to rent shops and all of that. So this is an easy way for them to earn their rizq. And they are earning their rozi in this way. Now you are saying, mustn't attend this. So you're throwing sand in their food. So now obviously when somebody comes with that kind of a story, now you think, hey, what I'm saying is right or wrong or whatever. But as I said, you always look back in the in our sources. Go back to Quran Sharif, go back to Hadith Sharif, go back to the teachings of our elders, and we find our answers there. So when it comes to our rozi, Allah Ta'ala is saying that He is the Razzaq. Allah Ta'ala is saying that He will take care of everybody's rozi. Right? So now, why do we have to go and do something which is causing a whole lot of fitna in order to earn our rozi? So then the argument put forward, they ask you, so what fitna? So you say, no, there's intermingling there, there's now, you know, haram gazes will take place and all that. While the grazing is taking place, then the gazing also is taking place. So then they shoot back, they say, no, but that happens in the mall also. People go to the shopping mall, they go to buy their things. They also, everybody is mixed up. There too, everybody is gazing and grazing and all of that. So see, if we want to argue, we can argue. You'll argue and carry on arguing one way. But if a person is looking for direction, then it's very easy. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ask your heart. Now one is a person who needs to go and do his monthly grocery shopping or his weekly grocery shopping. He needs to go and buy some clothing, maybe he needs some shoes, he needs to go and do some kaam. So he goes to the marketplace and he goes to do his work. Right? Now that is one scenario. The second scenario is I'm having a pop-up. It starts late and finishes even later. And what is there? The main attraction is food, entertainment, amusement. Those are the three things. Right? Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that after Isha, there shouldn't be any discussions. After Isha, there mustn't be discussions. In other words, after Isha, either you engaging in something deeny, some deeny activity, or it is your family time, and then go and rest. Because otherwise you're not going to be able to wake up for tahajjud, you won't be able to wake up for your fajr salah. So rather go and have a rest. Now, that is the mizaj that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promoted for those who are his lovers. Right? Now in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there too there were people that were very poor. Very, very poor. Sahaba, we can't even understand what is poverty. I don't think you'll find any house that will tell you that for 2 months we didn't light our stove. That is the life that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leading. That is the life that Sahaba radiallahu anhum were leading. They also needed to earn their rozi. They also made an effort to earn their rozi. But did they then now adopt these methods? They didn't stoop to these levels. So that argument about, no, we need to earn our rozi and it's same like a shopping mall and all that, that argument is baseless. This is something that 9 out of 10 times is organized by Muslims. 90% or 80% of all the stall owners also are Muslim, if not 100%. and almost 80 to 90% of their patrons are also Muslims. And we're doing something in a very un-Islamic way. So it has to be highlighted. After that, the ulama have to do their duty, the elders in the community need to do their duty, everybody needs to do their duty and highlight the evil. After that, who wants to listen will listen. Who doesn't want to listen, they won't listen. From how long Allah Ta'ala is telling us we have to read namaz. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us we have to read 5 times namaz. But is the ummah listening? The ummah is not listening. Small percentage of the ummah will listen. The rest are not prepared to listen. But that doesn't mean now that when the ummah is not prepared to listen, so now all those ayat in the Quran Sharif that speak about salah, we must stop reading those ayat. All the ahadith that speak about salah, we must stop talking about it. No. We have to continue doing our duty. Because we have a duty to Allah Ta'ala. So we must continue doing our duty. After that, who wants to listen will listen. Who don't want to listen won't listen. Nuh alayhi salam gave da'wat for plus minus 950 years. How many people listened to him? He was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. So the responsible people, ulama, jamaat brothers, people in tasawuf, people whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with some understanding of deen, they must continue talking about these ills. After that, whoever Allah Ta'ala wants to give hidayat, they will get hidayat. But we can't stop speaking because people are getting upset and offended. The third thing I wanted to talk about was that one of my satis, my class satis, I had many classes by Devi. So my class sati from Azadpur. So his name is Maulana Ismail Dindar. He's from Middleburg. So Maulana Ismail Sahib, he lost his family recently. The bahana was cancer. So Allah Ta'ala allowed for us to go, and few of our satis here from Natal who were all in the same class. So Maulana Rashid Sahib from Stanger, he started the fikr and then few got ready and alhamdulillah they thought of me too. They said, no, you also come join us. So we went to Middleburg to go and meet Maulana Ismail Sahib. So when a person goes through something like this, then you want to get some nasihat from him, to get some advice from him. That like there must be some ibrat, some lessons you have taken, right? So, give us some advice. So he mentioned two things that really stuck with me, right? Two things that stuck with me. One thing he mentioned was, he said that in the last 7 months of Marhuma's life, so they were going, now they're in and out of hospital, more of the time is spending in the hospital, coming, she's getting hospitalized, whatever, going up and down. So, in that, I think it's called oncology ward, where they deal with all the cancer patients. So now you come to know the other people there, Muslim and non-Muslim. Everybody is, you know, coming at the same time, in and out, you coming to meet. You come to meet, you come to know, right, this one's child or that one's wife or this one's husband is there, that one's father is there, this one's mother is there. So Warna mentioned that the ajeeb thing, we mu'mineen, we don't realize what we have. We take it for granted. This iman is such a gift. We don't realize what we have. So many times you come to the hospital, next thing you'll hear somebody screaming and crying. Now what happened? No, that lady was informed that her husband just died. Or that those parents were informed that their child just died. Right? Because cancer is a thing like that. It eats you up, and eventually Allah has made it like that. It leads to mouth in most cases. So he says, but when a mu'min passes away, these are all not, you know, disbelievers, non-Muslims. See, but when a mu'min passes away, you don't see that. When a mu'min passes away, you just go to that person, say, "Bhai, this person passed away. You know, it's Allah Ta'ala's hukam, Allah Ta'ala's decree." That person himself, when you meet that person will be telling you, "Now what can we do? Inshallah, he or she is in a better place. Allah Ta'ala's hukam, we got to accept it." This is iman. A disbeliever doesn't enjoy this. This iman that we have, this yaqeen that I'm going to go to Allah Ta'ala, this person has passed away, is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, decree of Allah Ta'ala. Now this we can extend to everything in our life. Not only maut, each and everything in our life, our iman must kick in. This is from Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak's decree. Then the other thing he mentioned, he said that, see, this is my journey. Each one of us, we have our own journey. Right? In other words, like in this stage in my life, this was my test now. See, each one, if you look at each and every person, they're going through some test or the other. And then he mentioned that, see, who told us we're not going to be tested? Who mentioned that? That we're not going to be tested. What we have been told is that we are going to be tested. Nobody said we're not going to be tested. So why do we become so perturbed? We don't ask for tests, we ask for afiyah. That's what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do. But when a test comes, then why become so perturbed, so worked up, whatever it may be? Why, some people will get depressed, some people get worked up, frustrated. He said, what for? Nobody said that we're not going to be tested. We have been told that we will be tested. But the important thing is, this test of mine, this test that I'm going through, is it bringing me closer to Allah Ta'ala? When Allah Ta'ala puts us through a test, then Allah wants us to get closer to Him. So is it making me closer to Allah Ta'ala, or am I getting distanced from Allah Ta'ala? And when he mentioned this, then I thought of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's words, Muhammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He mentioned this, that when a person is going through some affliction, how do you know whether it is a mercy from Allah Ta'ala or it is an azab? And then he mentioned this, that if that test is bringing the person closer to Allah Ta'ala, then that is a mercy. But if the person is going through that trial, that problem, and is going further away from Allah Ta'ala, that is an azab from Allah Ta'ala. Then Maulana Ismail Sahib, he is in the Jamiat there in Middleburg. He handles the welfare work and all of that. So he took us to the Jamiat there to meet the ulama. So you know, met Maulana Muhammad Ali and some other ulama that were there, etc. So that alim, I think one of Muhammad Ali, his name is. He is a brother-in-law of Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib. So when we are leaving, he came to the vehicle and he's telling us, he said, "Ulama, you know what, man? I want one request. What's your request?" He said, "You'll make two du'as for me. You're musafir, you're traveling. Make two du'as for me." I say, "What du'as?" So he said, "No, the first one is, I must die with iman. Allah Ta'ala must give me death upon iman. And the second one is on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak must just tell me, you know what, you just go to Jannah. Leave it. No hisab and all this. Just go. This is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. This is what the definition of hasibna hisabi yasira. A hisabi yasira. Allah Ta'ala doesn't now look at everything. It's just sarsari. Just look at Ramayaman and jao. Go into Jannat. I'm thinking that this is an alim, right? He's elder than us. He served Deen for so many years. What is his fikr? At the end of it, it all just boils down to this. That Allah Ta'ala must give us khatima upon iman, must pass away on iman, and Allah Ta'ala must be merciful to us on the day of Qiyamah and just put us, grant us success. Besides that, what else is there? Besides passing away with iman and getting success in the akhirat, what else is there? It all just boils down to that. That we must pass away with iman and Allah Ta'ala put us into Jannah. There's nothing else to life. Nothing else. Everything else that we bring about, we have just complicated our life. It has complicated our life. So many worries, so many this, so many ambitions, so many plans, so much of this and that. This has just complicated our lives. Otherwise, it's a simple life. That I must just do everything to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala in His mercy gives me death upon iman and grant me success in the hereafter. Yes, we will have to earn our rosy, we will have to look after our families, we will have to go for hajj if it is farz, all that is there in its place. But when you really think about it, what is the whole objective of this whole life? At the end of it, what counts? That I must leave the dunya with iman. That's all. Allah give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq, all those who have passed away. Allah Ta'ala make them maghfirat, grant them high stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Those who are left behind, Allah Ta'ala give them sabr, Allah Ta'ala give them the strength and the courage to cope. And Allah Rabbul Izzat take us all away from the dunya with our iman intact. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.